Well, chances are that at some stage in your life you have eaten a jam donut. Would I be right in saying that? Hands up if you've eaten a jam donut. Wow. Okay, hands up if you haven't eaten a jam donut. Okay, well, there's a few. For those that haven't experienced the pleasure, possibly even of warming it up in the microwave and a bit of ice cream, who feels like a jam donut now? Let's pretend. Okay. You always feel like a jam donut. If you don't know what a jam donut is, basically it's the donut dough that surrounds this hidden jewel of jam on the inside. And when you take a bite of this donut and you reach the jam, it then, especially if it's been warmed up, it'll just run everywhere through the donut, and everything you taste from then on will be coloured and have that wonderful taste of that jam. Now, in this week, in preparation for this sermon, no, I've been looking for jam donuts. Do you know that there are no jam donuts in the Camden Haven? Well, I couldn't find any. I couldn't find one jam donut. You're going to say, why don't you just go to Woolies? No, there were none at Woolies. One at Coles? No, there were none at Coles. I couldn't find one anywhere. We extended our search into Port Macquarie. I had my people out searching for jam donuts. We couldn't find any until last night. I went to the Players Theatre to see Into the Woods, which a whole bunch of very talented people were running. And in the interval, I thought, well, we'll just go across to the service station. And there at the service station, sitting in the window, was one jam donut. I don't know, it cost about $5 or something. It was expensive. I brought it with me. There's the jam donut. We're going to share that later, so we'll cut that up. I would like to suggest respectfully that John chapter 6 is a lot like a jam donut, and in this way. John chapter 6 begins with a miracle, the miraculous feeding with bread, dough, of the 5,000, which it could have been up to 20,000 with the children and women as well. And then at the end of chapter 6 is this talk about Jesus being the bread of life. So you could say there's dough on both sides. But in the middle, there's this hidden story of Jesus walking on the water. And if you've just joined us today, then you need to know that we've been going through this. We've been looking at the miracles that John records that Jesus did. And John doesn't call his Jesus' miracles miracles. He calls them signs, because each of the signs is pointing to something. And if we read John's Gospel as a whole, what we realise is that these signs are pointing us to true life. And true life, because they point us to something about Jesus. It is in understanding about Jesus and believing that thing that we see about him that leads to life. And we'll see more of that in a moment. So in John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this: in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of every person. When we understand about Jesus and believe, we receive life because we are receiving him. Can I just underline that? The way that you and I receive Jesus is to receive the teaching about Jesus and believe it. That's how you receive him. And as the truth about Jesus is opened up to us and we believe, God begins to open up to us life as he intended. So in this sign of Jesus walking on the water in the midst of all this dough and bread, what are we to understand and believe about Jesus that will bring life? Well, let's have a look at it. Well, like I said, of all the miracles, the miraculous signs in John, this is the only one that is private, just with the disciples. All the others are experienced by everyone around. So that's what I'm saying. In some sense, it's a hidden miracle. It's like the jam hidden inside that jam donut. But as we read it, as we figuratively sink our teeth into it, and as we understand this passage, I want to suggest very strongly that when you get this, it will change everything you know about Jesus. It will infect, it'll flow into everything you see about Jesus, everything you read about. So there it is. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open, and it's in verse 16 of John chapter 6. It would be really good to be following along so you can see what's happening. So there in verse 16, a little while after Jesus has just previously fed the 5,000, now they want to make him like King Bread Man. You bring in the bread, man. We want you to be our king. This is good. Jesus actually avoids their plans to make him king, and the way that he avoids it is he withdraws again to a mountain by himself. And while he is withdrawing, the disciples get into a boat and they set off across the lake to Capernaum. Now, there are four things we're told in these following verses. The first one is that it was dark. The second one is that Jesus had not yet joined them. Now, the fact that it says had not yet joined them has some expectation that he will. The question is, if they're out on the water, how is he going to join them? Is he going to wait and they're going to walk around? How is it? So at least that question is being raised for us. The third thing is that there is a strong wind was blowing and the water was rough. And fourthly, that they'd rowed in kilometres, about 6 kilometres, which means they were about halfway there. It is then that they see Jesus walking on the water and approaching the boat. It's important to see that it wasn't the waves and the wind that was frightening them. What was frightening them is that they saw someone walking on the water approaching them. Now, okay, if he was walking on the water, that's scary enough. But the fact that he is approaching them, that's got to be pretty freaky. Hence, it says they were terrified. Now, when I picture Jesus walking on the water, I just realised it this week, I picture Jesus walking on this nice, serene, flat water. This is a really nice picture. But the wind was strong and the sea was rough. And if he's walking on the water and the water's going up and down, then he's going up and down, isn't he? Maybe he's going down it and surfed down on barefoot down one wave. I don't know how it would work, but this was seeing something coming towards you like this, wasn't it? And they were terrified. Jesus says those simple words, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Where it says there, "it is I," it's literally just the words, "I am." Now, I think there is a lot of power packed into these words, and I hope I can get it across. "I am," or it's been rightly translated there, "it is I," simply means, "it's me." It's like, you know, you ring up someone, "oh, g'day, it's me," and you know who it is. Well, here's Jesus walking on the water. "Hi, it's just me. No worries." However, the words "I am" on the lips of someone who's treading on the waves suddenly brings a whole different picture to what's going on. In the Old Testament, the waters were often parted for prophets, weren't they? So you can think of Moses and Elijah and Elisha, where the waters were drawn back and they could walk across on dry land. But Jesus is more than a prophet. And in the Old Testament, God doesn't draw back the waters and walk on dry land. God is the one who walks on the water. So in Job chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, God alone, you tread on the waves. I remember being told that I was really foolish for believing that a person can walk on water. The words were, I remember them so vividly, oh yeah, you're one of those guys that has an imaginary friend who can walk on the water. I just had to reply, I suppose, and say, well, actually, I don't believe people can walk on water, but you'd have to agree that God could if he wanted to, couldn't you? Wouldn't you? He said, well, yeah, well, because God could do it, yeah. That's my point. Oh, saying something very profound, isn't it, about Jesus. And then when we find in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses says to God, what is your name? Who shall I say sent me? Talking about water. God says, tell them, I am sent you. That's his name. I am. Jesus just got a whole lot bigger. Jesus is the one who walks on the water. Jesus is the one who is in control of the elements. Jesus is the one who is in control of the creation. He is the great I am. He is the creator. That's why in John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, through Jesus all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. That's why in verse 4 it says, therefore in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Because you see, God is the source of life, is he not? And if Jesus is the great I am, well, then life is found in him and in none else. People have said to me, oh, how do you even know there is a God? And there's a whole lot of ways you can say stuff. You can say, well, look at the creation, and or here's a whole lot of arguments about this, that and the other, or the morality. Why is there an absolute morality that we sort of experience, that sort of thing? Well, I just say, well, he turned up on the planet. And if you were born on time, you would have seen him, but you were late. But you've got a text here to believe, a historical record. Was there a God? Yes, because he turned up. And this is how we need to see how the jam of all this affects everything we know about Jesus. Because this I am, which is the same sort of as jam, isn't it? But anyway, this jam I am, not Sam, this I am, what happens in John's gospel from now on is that there is literally an abundance poured out of Jesus' lips of I am sayings. So he begins to say in that very next part of John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. Now we know I am now means that's he's God. He's God, the living bread. I am the light. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. He is all these things because he is God. That's why he's life. That's why he's the resurrection. That's why he's the good shepherd. Now, I'm pretty sure that the disciples back there, when they were in that boat, did not get it straight away. I don't actually think they got it till after the resurrection. And then they went, it's all clicked. It's all come together. That's why they write it. That's why John wrote it down for us to get it today. Jesus says, it is I am, Then he says, don't be afraid. What's he telling them not to be afraid of? Is it that the wind and the waves, that they're afraid of the wind and the waves? Well, one of the things I do is I keep importing the other stories of Jesus calming the storm and the like into this story, and I keep thinking, oh, they were afraid of the wind and the waves. Jesus came and he calmed them and then it was okay. But that's not what the story says, is it? They weren't afraid of the wind and the waves. It was normal sort of fisherman business. They were afraid of him. And he says, don't be afraid, therefore, of me. I am. Do not be afraid. This is God saying, don't be afraid. Now, friends, if there's any being in the universe that we ought to be afraid of, it is God, isn't it? I mean, I reckon even now if you're thinking, no, no, you shouldn't be afraid of God, and if he turned up, I bet you you'd be on your face in fear. But yet here, Jesus, the great I am, says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Wow. That's the God we know. The one who says, don't be afraid. And the opposite in this passage of being afraid is exactly what the disciples do. It says there, they willingly took him into the boat. They welcomed him in. That's what it looks like to not be afraid. But did you notice in that verse 21 that there are actually two miracles in one happen? When they welcomed Jesus into the boat, it says, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Their GPS said, you have reached your destination, or whatever it does. So I want to put this out to you to think about, because I've been thinking about it, and I'm not sure I've quite appreciated as much as what John is asking us to get out of this. I really feel that he's drawing our attention to it because he's already told us that they are only 6 Ks into their journey. They had another at least 6 Ks to go. Jesus has met them at the 6K mark. They welcome him in and then suddenly they're there. Bang, snap, right at their destination. Immediately, not eventually they got there, but immediately they arrived. Now, what do you think the significance is of that? Well, here's my go at it, and I think we ought to think about it a lot more. Maybe we could talk about it over morning tea. I think there's a real sense that when you receive or welcome the true Jesus into your life, you've arrived. To say, yes, this is, I am now in the right place. This is what I was made for. When he reaches you, you have reached your destination. Can I just take a moment, a related aside, and say that the sea in the Bible came uncertain in life. That's why in Revelation it says there was no longer any sea. It's, we love the sea, don't we? But in the Bible, it's that picture of uncertainty and fear. And fear. Oh, I've got to have another drink. Just a minute. Often we experience fear and uncertainty, and we feel like we are distanced from God. We feel like in some sense these fears and uncertainties or anxieties or whatever you want to make them, that they are actually barriers between us and God. But this passage is saying fears and anxieties, the sea, they're not barriers, they're stepping stones. Do you see? He treads on them to get to you. When you face whatever fear or uncertainty, you and I need to remember Jesus saying, it is I, don't be afraid. And why is it that Jesus comes to us far more in our pain than he does in our pleasure? Why is it that when life is falling apart, suddenly God is bigger and at the right, and he is the right size? Do you know Joni Erickson? Joni Erickson, if you don't know her, Joni is a lady who quite a while ago, she dived into the water and she actually somehow broke her back and she was therefore left quadriplegic in a wheelchair for her life. And she said these words. She said, she was saying, "I want to ask God if I can take my wheelchair to heaven." And she's saying, "I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that, you know, there's no more suffering, no more disease, no more pain, and you'll be able to walk. You won't need that wheelchair." She said, "No, I really want to take my wheelchair to heaven." And the reason she says, "I want to take my wheelchair to heaven," is because I want to thank God for that wheelchair. And she said these words, speaking to God, "You know what? The weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. Thank you for the bruising of a blessing it was, this severe mercy." Now that's a different way of looking at life, isn't it? God came to her and the stepping stone he used was her pain. Corrie ten Boom said, "You do not know Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." But remember that all this that we've been talking about was only experienced by the disciples. After the resurrection, yep, they will get it and they will write it and we will read it so that we get it. But the crowd doesn't know. That's why that whole verse, all the rest of it from 22 to 25 there, they're hidden. They go, "Well, we saw the disciples leave in a boat and Jesus didn't, and then we couldn't find Jesus anywhere, so we thought, well, we'll go and follow the disciples." And when we got there to Capernaum, there was Jesus, and we knew he didn't go in the boat. So how did he get here? They don't know. They're in the dark about who Jesus is. I don't know, maybe they came up to the disciples and said, "Hey, how did Jesus get here?" And you could imagine they sort of went, "Actually, he walked." They're still probably a bit drained in their faces. Friends, this sign is saying that life is found in Jesus because Jesus is God. God is the creator and source of life. That's the only place life can be found. So Jesus is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the resurrection, and the life. And I want to say, friends, some of you don't understand this yet. You didn't know that Jesus was God. You've seen him as a man, a very special man, a very impressive man, a very godly and holy man, or whatever, you know, the highest of men, but you haven't seen him as God. You haven't got it yet. You haven't actually bit into the middle of that jam donut and had that jam flow into everything around. Well, today is the day to get it. Jesus as God must grip you. You can understand it today, but you need not only understand it, you need to believe it. And it's in believing it that God will give life. Not just knowing it, believing it. Do you believe it? Some of you don't understand, but now you do, and you've got a chance to believe. But some of you do understand. Some of you have like done a course or something, done PTC, and you've learned Jesus is God. You've got it in your head. But you don't believe it yet. Because it seems to me that you can't believe without understanding, but you can understand and not believe. Well, my question to you is today, have you followed the sign? Believe and God will give you life. And he gives you life because when you believe him, you are receiving him. You don't believe and receive. You receive by believing. It's the same action. So in John chapter 1, to all who received him, to all who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He is God. Don't be afraid. Treat him as God, and he will give you true life. Friends, do you believe that this Jesus that we pray to, that this Jesus that we talk about, that this Jesus that we sing about is God incarnate? Why would he do all of that for us, people like us? But he did. And he says, don't be afraid. Let me pray. Holy and loving Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would take the words that have been spoken, that as we've read from your word, and Father, we pray that you would drive them into our takes in our life to get it. And then we pray when we get it, that you would cause us to believe it. And we thank you that when we believe, you have promised that we will have life. And we pray, Lord God, that we would live that life that treats the Lord Jesus as God. Whatever it takes, we've one life to live, it'll soon be past. And only what is done for Christ our God will last. Amen.